Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Yes. No.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare.
Everyone chant.
Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Livesesa Sunyavali Prasati Desatarni. Vansakalpatubhyascha Kripasindhuvevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. There's in the 20th chapter of perhaps the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a pastime where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deals with his very dear devotee, Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta is very close to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he goes to a place where Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu are, and he first offers his obeisances to Mahaprabhu and then to Nityananda Prabhu. And Mahaprabhu corrects him and says, this isn't proper, you should know the etiquette. And Murari Gupta couldn't understand because he was aware that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Mahaprabhu told him, don't worry, tonight I will explain everything to you in a dream. So that night, while Murari Gupta was asleep, he had a dream. And in that dream, he understood the position of Nityananda Prabhu as Balaram. And he understood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. And he understood why Mahaprabhu had corrected him, because he should pay respect to the elder brother, Balaram, Nityananda Prabhu, before to him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he awoke and he was very happy. And then the next day when he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was with Nityananda Prabhu again, and he paid his obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu first, and then to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu was very happy with him. And he said, now you have understood that he is my elder brother. So as this pastime was going on, Mahaprabhu's mood suddenly changed. And he went into a mood of being the Supreme Lord. But the Supreme Lord in a feature that none of us would like to see. I'll now read something as you keep playing, please. Suddenly, the Lord's mood changed, and he became angry, and he began grinding his teeth even, and he began to manifest his supreme identity, and he said, in Varanasi, there is a sannyasi named Prakasananda. He is living in Kashi, and he is inflicting pain on my very person. He's a teacher of Vedanta philosophy, but he does not exist. He does not accept the existence of my supreme form. I have punished him by making him contract leprosy, and yet he fails to understand this entire material creation is a manifestation of my energy. But he says with arrogance that this whole existence is false, mithya. But Murari, you are my trusted servant, so I am telling you the truth about who I am. Those who do not respect my form and personality, they will perish. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Ananta, and all the demigods, they serve the feet of the Supreme Lord. They serve those feet as the dearest object of their worship. And the mere touch of the Lord's body can cleanse one of all contamination, and yet these shameless rascals deny the Lord's form. Truly, I declare to you that I, the Supreme Lord, my dear servitors and their servants are all manifestations of the absolute truth. My transcendental abode, Golok Vrindavan, and the activities there, they are reality. And anyone who denies their existence inflicts countless wounds upon my body. They cause me pain. And just by hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord, all ignorance is removed. Yet that sinful teacher of Vedanta says my pastimes and my glories, they are unreal. Lord Shiva became so intoxicated drinking the nectarian glories of the Lord. He drinks those not with his mouth, but with his ears. And he loses all his clothing and he doesn't even care, he doesn't even notice. The great personality, Ananta Shesha himself, is forever engaged, continuously, eternally engaged in singing my glories. Sukadev Goswami, Narada, and other exalted personalities became intoxicatedly mad by drinking and speaking the glories, my sweet glories. The four Vedas are simply explaining the nature of the Lord's transcendental glories. So Murari, anyone who disregards such super excellent glories and activities can never appreciate the real purpose of my advent. So Mahaprabhu addressed Mariegupta in that way. And in this way, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur and his Chaitanya Bhagavat says, in this way, the Lord was teaching the entire world about his absolute nature and criticizing Mayavadis and Mayavad philosophy. Because the Lord's form, his devotees, his pastimes, and his supreme abode, they are the absolute reality. That is reality. And the unfortunate non-believers will be annihilated. And then after a while, Sri Vishwambar Mahaprabhu came out of his trance and he became his usual humble self. And he lovingly embraced Murari. He called him, "Oh, bhai, oh, my brother." And he spoke sweetly to him and he said, "Murari, indeed, you are my pure devotee. And thus, you have come to perceive the transcendental nature and position of Nityananda. Now, go home. Murari, you have purchased me with your devotion." I wanted to read that section of Chaitanya Bhagavat because Mahaprabhu was so angry at Prakashananda Saraswati. But yet, in the seventh chapter of Adilila, where the glories of the Panchatattva are described, in the eighth chapter of Adilila, again they're described, but more Nitai and Gaur and the power of their holy names. But in the seventh chapter, the glory of the Panchatattva in spreading Krishna consciousness, in plundering the storehouse of prema bhakti, of love of Godhead, and distributing it. And the more they distributed prema bhakti, the more that storehouse grew. And they were continuously chanting Krishna's names. So after explaining this, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the world became inundated or drowned in prema bhakti. But two groups of persons avoided getting caught in the net of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One was the arrogant students, and the other was the Mayavadi sannyasi, specifically of Benares. And then, even though Mahaprabhu was so angry at that point, he decided to show them mercy, the Mayavadi sannyasis. And how did he do that? First, as Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, he passed through Benares, and he was chanting and dancing in ecstasy. And people were joining him, and they were also experiencing the ecstasy of Krishna's holy names. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, headed by Prakasananda Saraswati, were critical. They found three faults. One, you're not associating with us. You are a sannyasi, we are sannyasis, and you refuse to associate with us. You won't even look at us. Second, you don't study Vedanta. Study Vedanta, meditation. This is Swadharma. This is the occupation, proper occupation for a sannyasi. And third, you're just dancing with a bunch of sentimental, chanting and dancing with a bunch of sentimental fanatics whom you've attracted. This is not proper. And Mahaprabhu ignored them and went on to Vrindavan. When he returned, he passed through Prayag and instructed Rupa Goswami, and then he came to Benares again on his way back to Vrindavan. And there for 2 months he stayed, and he instructed Srila Sanatana Goswami in bhakti and for 2 months. And do you know who was there also? Chandrasekhar Acharya from Sridhar Mayapur, and also Tapan Misra. It's very interesting how when Mahaprabhu went to Bangladesh, East Bengal, he met Tapan Misra, who had a dream. And in that dream, because he was frustrated inside, he was a scholar, he had studied so many things, so many shastras, but he couldn't understand what the goal of life is, what to speak of, how to get it. And then he had a dream, you go see this Nimai Pandit who's here. And Nimai Pandit at that time was a 16-year-old boy. And he went, Tapan Misra went to that place, and he saw Nimai Pandit, and he inquired about the purpose of life and the goal, and Mahaprabhu instructed him very sweetly on the holy names and the purpose of life, and chanting is to get prema bhakti. And then Tapan Misra, even though he was so senior to Mahaprabhu, he immediately recognized who Mahaprabhu was. And he said, please let me be with you. I want to stay with you. Please, please, naturally. And Mahaprabhu said, no. You go to Benares and live, which is the center of the universe for Mayavadi sannyasis. And Chandrasekhar Acharya was the only devotee there too. And Tapan Misra, you know what he did? Amazingly enough, he went to Benares. He did what Mahaprabhu told him. And there he waited. He didn't know why Mahaprabhu had told him. He said, I'll instruct you then when you're there. He actually said Mahaprabhu told him that. But it took a long time. He waited and waited and waited. And then one day Mahaprabhu came, and then he went to Vrindavan, and then he came back, and Mahaprabhu took prasadam at his house every day. And Tapan Misra was present with Sanatana Goswami when Sanatana Goswami received the instructions of Mahaprabhu for 2 months. And that was the last time he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had gone there and stayed there for years, saw him for 2 months, and then never saw him again. Was he fortunate or unfortunate? What do you think? Huh? Fortunate. Lava Matra. What to speak of Mahaprabhu. But he didn't feel fortunate because once one is in the association of such an exalted person, that separation is very painful, but one's absorbed in that which one doesn't have. And that's going to be somewhat a theme of what I wish to say today. So in any case, when Mahaprabhu returned back, Tapan Misra from Vrindavan, Tapan Misra and Chandrasekhar Acharya said, we can't tolerate it here. These Mayavadi sannyasis are criticizing you and criticizing you and criticizing you. Mahaprabhu just smiled. But they couldn't tolerate it. Someone criticizing the one who you love the most in the world is intolerable. If it just rolls off you, if it doesn't cause pain, that type of criticism, there's no love in the heart, in fact. So Mahaprabhu decided to change the hearts of the Mayavadi sannyasis, and he decided to give them mercy. So just at that moment, a brahmana came and begged Mahaprabhu in a very gentle way to please come to my house for prasadam tomorrow. If it will make you happy, this will make me happy. So Mark, and he even said, even though I know you don't associate with these Mayavadi sannyasis, I'm inviting all the sannyasis and Benares to come to my house. Please, please, I beg you. And Mahaprabhu said yes. And then when Mahaprabhu came, he had a strategy to give mercy to the Mayavad sannyasis. So the sannyasis were all sitting in a place where they were going to take prasadam, or they were sitting there. And then Mahaprabhu came, and Prakasananda Saraswati was there too. And Mahaprabhu came, and he washed his feet, because in those days, sannyasis never wore shoes. And that was the austerity, and there were so many austerities. And Srila Prabhupada said that because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur showed that everything should be used in the service of Krishna, because of that principle that he established, cars, they had to walk from place to place. Sannyasis, so because he established that everything should be used, the best of things should be used in Krishna's service, because of this, Prabhupada said, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established this, therefore I could be successful in preaching all over the world. So if you just travel from place by foot, one place to the other by foot, your feet are going to be covered with dust and etc. So before entering into a temple or any place of assembly or someone's house, they would wash their feet. So Mahaprabhu washed his feet there, his lotus feet, and he just sat in that place which was considered not clean. But he didn't just sit there. He manifested this incredible effulgence that filled the entire area. He was like the sun had come. And all the Mayavadi sannyasis, including Prakasananda Saraswati Thakur, they just looked at him. Because they say, and I've seen this in Vrindavan, when Mayavadi sannyasis when they greet each other, they think that you've taken sannyas, so you are God, you are Narayan. So they greet each other, Namo Narayan. But as Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, when explaining this, they call each other Narayan, but they cannot manifest the effulgence of Narayan. But Mahaprabhu was doing that. So they had criticized him for being a foolish sentimentalist, but yet there he was, manifesting what they one day hoped to manifest, power. He was proving that he was the Supreme Lord. So they all just stared at him, and they all came over to him, and Prakasananda Saraswati Thakur specifically came over to him and said, "Oh, Sripad, why are you sitting in this dirty place? You're effulgent like Narayan." And not only that, why don't you associate with us? Or he actually took him by the hand. Mahaprabhu melted his heart by his sweetness. So he took him by the hand and brought him inside to the assembly. All the sannyasis were surrounding him, and he started asking him questions. Why? You were so exalted. Why don't you associate with us? We are sannyasis. You are the disciple of Keshava Bharati Maharaj, the great exalted sannyasi. Why don't you associate with us? And Mahaprabhu said, "Because I'm inferior. I'm an inferior sannyasi. You were just criticizing me for being an inferior. I'm inferior. But no, you're a member of our sannyas community. And not only that, don't you associate with us? And why are you dancing and chanting? Sannyasi's duty is to study Vedanta and meditate. Please tell me why." And they're all listening. And he said, now we're going to go directly to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. "Please hear the reason," Mahaprabhu said. my spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore, satsang, he chastised me. Now, this will be said in the following verse too, but actually, Sripad Iswara Puri didn't consider Mahaprabhu a fool at all. Rather, he asked him to edit his book that he had written about Krishna. He was so respectful to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu asked him to take initiation, he said, "How can I take initiation from you? You are the Supreme Lord." He understood Mahaprabhu's position. So he didn't actually consider him a fool, of course. But Mahaprabhu is presenting himself in this way. My spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. And he said to me, "Morkatumi, you are a fool. Tomar nahika Vedanta Arika. You don't have the qualification to study Vedanta, but rather Krishna mantra japa. You should chant Krishna's mantra sada, always. Because the Krishna mantra, a mantra, sar. What does sar mean? The essence or the cream. This is the essence of all Vedanta, of all the Vedas. Krishna mantra japa sada. You should always chant Krishna's holy names. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain freedom from material existence. He's explaining, because the Vedantists, this is what their goal is. Their goal is liberation. They don't want to suffer. Well, no one wants to suffer. But they want to do something about it. They are not like the commies who try to enjoy the material world. Their concept is to remove themselves completely from all material engagement and just sit and study Vedanta and sit and meditate and understand through cultivating sattva-gun, basically, because by sattva-gun, one's consciousness becomes, mind becomes peaceful. If one wonders why it's so hard to focus and chant our japa, etc., it's because of rajagun, tamagun. By quieting the mind into sattva-gun, then sattvam sanjayate jnanam, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, then one immediately can separate himself from the body, jnanam, and he understands, I am not the body, I am completely different from my body. This is just from sattva-gun. And therefore, that's the cultivation. But here, instead of doing that, Sri Iswara Puri Mahaprabhu says that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, this is even more than freedom from material existence. Pabe Krishnera Charan. You'll be able to achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. And then in this age of Kali, there's no other religious principle other than the chanting of the holy names, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the conclusion of all the scriptures. After describing, Mahaprabhu says, the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse. And he advised me to always keep this verse in my throat. In other words, on my tongue. And that verse we all know very well. Does anyone know what it is? Hari Nama, Hari Nama. Eva Kevalam, Kaloa Nasteva, 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 Gatiniyata. There is no other hope. This is not by karma, not by jnana, not by yoga in Kali Yuga. This is the means. So Mahaprabhu says, because he's answering the question of that Prakasananda Saraswati had asked him, why don't you study Vedanta with us? And his answer is, my Guru Maharaj, Sri Swapuri, told me to always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And since I received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name. But, he says, I thought, because he was always chanting, I thought that by chanting and chanting the holy name, by doing that branta hoilaman, that my mind had become confused. What? Why was Mahaprabhu thinking this? Because while chanting the holy name of the Lord, I become ecstatic. I lose myself. And thus I laugh, I cry, I dance, and I sing, just like a madman. And then Mahaprabhu says, Tabe darja dhari, mane koila vichar. I unconfused myself, I collected my patience, I steadied my mind, and I began to consider, because he's talking to Mayavadi sannyasis, that this is wrong, what's happening to me. I've become like a madman. Krishna nama jnana chana. Chana means covered. That my knowledge, I'm fearing that my knowledge, because this is the goal of Mayavad Sannyas, to gain knowledge. I'm afraid that my knowledge had become covered. So therefore, because I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy names, I immediately submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. What has happened? My dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I've become mad simply by chanting the Maha Mantra. Japate, japate mantra kolila pagal. By chanting and chanting, I've become pagal, crazy, mad. And he says this to his spiritual master. So he's explaining this to the Mayavadi sannyasis who are all, because after all, he was so effulgent. And he said, chanting the holy name in ecstasy, Mahaprabhu says to his Guru Maharaj, Sri Swapuri, chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh. Tears are coming from my eyes. And when my spiritual master heard this, Eta Shuni Guru Hoila Balila Vachana, he smiled and said, he began to speak, it is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. This is the nature of the mantra. Immediately, Tare Krishna Upajaya Bhav. This is what arises. Upajaya means it arises, like the, it just comes. And then he, Srila Swapuri spoke further, Mahaprabhu was saying, that all the goals of the Vedas, sense gratification, religiosity, economic development and liberation, these are the goals of life people consider. But prema paramartho mahan, love for Krishna, this is the fifth, the highest goal. And this prema bhakti makes everything else appear as insignificant as straw in the street. For a devotee who has actually developed bhava, the pleasure derived from Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha appears like a drop in the presence of the sea. And the conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken Krishna Namera Fal Prema Sarva Sastra Kai. The conclusion of all Shastra is that one should awaken his love of Godhead, his dormant love of God. And you, this Guru Maharaj said to Mahaprabhu, are greatly fortunate because you have already done so. It is the characteristic, the nature, the swabhava of prema, that it induces, it causes transcendental symptoms to arise in one's body and makes one more and more greedy to attain and achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The more one has prema, the more desires, it's endless, ananda buddhi vardhanam. It's not like you achieve it, he's explaining, and then, okay, what's next? No, it's ever increasing because it's in touch with the unlimited Krishna in the way that we can actually consciously always be in touch with him. So it makes one more greedy to attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. When one actually develops love for God, he naturally sometimes cries. Sometimes he laughs. Sometimes he chants. And sometimes runs here and there like a madman. He perspires. He trembles. The hairs on his body stand on end. Tears, faltering voice, his complexion, all the blood rushes from his body. He becomes sad, he becomes mad, he becomes patient, he becomes full of pride, he becomes full of joy, he becomes completely humble. One after the next. And this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu with the ocean, the waves are moving this way and that. And it causes a devotee, these are the natural symptoms, and it causes a devotee to dance and float in an ocean of transcendental bliss while chanting the Maha Mantra. And then he says, Balohoil, this is very good. That you have attained this is very good. And Tomara premete ami, to attain this, you have attained this prema, ami hoilo kritata. I am grateful to you. You have pleased me very much by developing love for Krishna, and I'm very much obliged, kritata, grateful to you. My dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life, you have developed love, and I am grateful to you. You have achieved the goal of my teachings. Continue dancing, my dear child. Continue chanting. Continue performing sankirtan in the association of devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam. And by this process, and we're going to be hearing about this more tomorrow, you'll be able to deliver all fallen souls. And saying this, my spiritual master taught me a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu said, this verse is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore, when he recited this verse to me, he said it again and again and again and again. Yeah, so this particular class is a continuation of yesterday's class where we spoke about what is to be gained, and what was to be gained, it was a desire, an attraction to Krishna. An attraction to Krishna, this is life's purpose, and to gain, that's our desire. So this class is more on how to protect that desire and to nourish it. First, we've heard about the fulfillment of that desire, the complete fructification of that desire, the fruit of that desire. And Mahaprabhu demonstrated it by the mercy of Srila Ishwara Puri in this exchange. And he's speaking all this to the Mayavadi sannyasis who are... Mm-hmm. So he recited a verse that he said was the essence of the Bhagavatam, and to emphasize it, he recited that verse again and again. So hopefully it's going to come up here. Yes. Thank you. Evam Vrata Supriyanama Kirtya. This is the essence of the Bhagavatam. With a vow, Evam Vrata Supriyanama Kirtya. Kirtya means the chanting of glorification. Supriyanama means, it has two meanings. One is that you should chant with a vow the holy names that are very dear to you. Those names that are dear to you. And the second meaning is chant the names of He, Krishna, who is dear to you. Evam Vrata, with a great vow, with great determination, we should chant the holy names which are dear to one, which of the names of that person who is increasingly dear to us. Jato Anuraga Jutta Chitta Uchai means we should chant with great attachment, Anurag, attachment. And Jutta Chitta means with a melted heart. Oh, so many times I chant with no heart, or a hard heart, and it's really a hard heart, steel-clad heart due to my offenses. And then I'm putting a wall in between Krishna and in the form of the holy names, and therefore nothing happens. But this is the perfection, and this is what we are aiming for. With a melted heart, Uchai, chanting loudly. Uchai means loudly chanting. And then Hasyat Yato Rodita Rao Digayanti, laughing, crying, becoming agitated, Gayanti, singing. On Madhavan, like a madman. Not mad, but the vat at the end means like a madman. Like a madman, Nrityati. Dancing, lokabaya, without caring what other people think, because you're with Krishna. You care what Krishna thinks. Like Narada Muni, after Krishna came to him once in the forest, and he said, you're not going to see me again. This one time, this is all you're getting. Was he fortunate or unfortunate? He was so fortunate. But he didn't feel so fortunate, because that one time awakens in the heart the desire for it continuous times. So what did Dhruva Maharaj do from that moment on? He just chanted and chanted and chanted. Because the Lord had told him, I can't remember the verse at this moment, but you're not mature enough to be able to always see me. You have to become mature, ripened, like the seed has to grow and develop its fruits. And it means the heart has to be in love with, you have to be in love with Krishna. So what did he do, Narada Muni, after the Lord disappeared? He bowed his head, and then from then on, wherever he went, he just chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted. It didn't make a difference where he was, who he was with. And of course, it's needed to say we should neither imitate nor, this was the depths of his realization. But he chanted and chanted, and then by the time when he left this world, his spiritual body was fully developed. So as lightning and the bolt of lightning and the sound of lightning and illumination occur simultaneously, he dropped his material body had a spiritual body at the same time, because he was fully mature. He was already developed in his love for Krishna, because he did what Mahaprabhu also was saying that he did. Now, I would like to read some of the commentary on this because it's very important, and then we'll get to some other points, and then we'll finish this section. In the BBT purport, in this verse, pure love of God is being described. Srila Sridhar Swami has described the spiritual situation as some prapti prema lakshana. Prema lakshana, this is a symptom of prema. Bhakti yogasya samsara dama itam gatim. This is the perfectional stage in life in which one's devotional service to the Supreme Lord is enriched by ecstatic love. And at that time, when one is on this stage, one's spiritual duties are entirely beyond the scope of worldly affairs. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then in the purport, the BBT purport, they're quoting what Mahaprabhu had said, Harirnama, Harirnama. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also emphasized this chanting with Harinam, Harinam, in this age of Kali. There's no alternative for spiritual progress but the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. And then later on in the purport it says, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommends that we study the following verse from Padyavali, Rupa Goswami's compilation, Padyavali, in this respect. Let the garrulous, the frivolous, talkative people of this world say whatever they like. We shall pay them no regard. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says we should meditate on this verse and understand it deeply and think about it, contemplate it. Let the garrulous, talkative, frivolous people of this world say whatever they like. We shall pay them no regard. We will be thoroughly maddened by the ecstasy of the intoxicating beverage of love for Krishna. We shall enjoy life running about, rolling on the ground, and dancing in ecstasy. Now, I wanted to read Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on this, and it's leading to another point. This verse, this is the specific verse which is in the 11th canto, second chapter, 40th verse, I believe, of spoken by the Navayogendras. This verse describes the transcendental activities of a person who is beyond samsara, beyond this world, because the Mayavadi sannyasis, they're trying to get free from the suffering of this world. So this is the symptoms, not this is the symptom of someone who is beyond samsara, who has attained prema. In this way, Evamvrata particularly chants the holy names of Krishna who are dear to him. Krishna who is dear to him, or chants the names which are dear to him. And by chanting, he has developed prema, jato anaraga. Now, in great longing to see the Lord. He longs to see the Lord. And then I think of what my mind longs for, and I wonder why I don't advance. He longs to see the Lord. And now, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is going to give a glimpse of what it is like in the heart of a devotee. Prabhupada explains this also in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. He's seeing the pastimes of the Lord in his heart. This is why he's dancing and chanting and falling to the ground and crying and not caring. This is why, not that the symptoms, to imitate the symptoms, that means that we're advanced, but this is what's going on inside. Although if we just imitate the symptoms, we are called sahajiyas, those who take things cheaply. So this is what's going on in the heart. his heart, his melted heart, which is like molten gold. Oh, that thief, that son of Yasoda has entered the house to steal the butter. He should be caught and driven away. When Krishna hears the voice of an old woman in the house, he begins to flee, he runs. And seeing in this sudden appearance, the person's watching this, he's observing it, seeing this, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is running out of fear, he's stealing, and he's running out of fear. This all beautiful, effulgent, like a sapphire's. He sees this, and he sees Krishna running in fear. And seeing Krishna in this sudden appearance, he begins to laugh. But then the vision disappears. He begins to lament. He begins to cry. And he calls out, crying out, "Oh, I had attained the greatest treasure. And now that treasure has escaped from my hands. Oh Lord, where are you? Give me an answer." And the Lord answers because he needs the answer. It's like I've noticed when I pray to the deities, I'm sort of like testing to see, is this real or not? You know, is he really there? You know, does he care about me or something like that? I'm testing, but sincere prayer, sincere desire brings very fast results. And the problem, again, is one of sincerity, or my problem is lack of sincerity, because I want some little desire, but so many other desires. So, "Oh Lord, where are you? Give me an answer." And the Lord says, "Oh devotee, hearing your crying, I have come." And then again, the Lord appears, and seeing him, the devotee sings, "Today I have been successful." In bliss, he dances madly. He does not care whether people laugh, praise, respect, or disrespect him. So this is the internal workings, which what's going on. This is Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of this verse, because the verse describes prema bhakti, but the external manifestation of it, but this is what's going on inside. So after repeating this verse again and again to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu says, "I firmly believed in these words of my spiritual master, and therefore I always chant the holy name of the Lord, alone and in the association of devotees." And the holy name causes of Lord Krishna sometimes causes me to chant and dance, and therefore that is why I chant and dance. This was his explanation of why I don't study Vedanta to Prakasananda and the sannyasis, and why I'm chanting and dancing. It's not like, you know, I say, okay, now it's time to chant and dance, okay. No, this is the natural manifestation of increasing love for Krishna. So he's telling them, the holy name of the Lord sometimes causes me to chant. It's the holy names working inside of me, and therefore I chant and dance. Please do not think that I do it because, you know, okay, now it's time to chant and dance, that I want to upset the Mayavadi sannyasis, I want to impress. No, I do it automatically. It's the holy names that are working in me. And compared to the ocean of transcendental bliss that one tastes by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and he's saying this to the Mayavadi sannyasis, the pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman is like shallow water, the ocean of bliss compared to the shallow water within a canal. and then there's, it's like the water in the hoof print of a calf compared to the ocean. So after hearing this, so Mahaprabhu was just effulgent, and he's speaking to the room full of Mayavadi sannyasis, and Prakasananda is there, and he says, after hearing Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Mayavadi sannyasis, they were moved, they were touched. Their minds had changed, no more criticism, and thus they spoke to him in pleasing words, in a pleasing mood. Dear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what you have said is all true. Only one who is favored by fortune, they said, Bhagyodaya, by fortune has gotten this mercy. He is the one who attains love for Krishna. But, because there's one last question remaining, that Pakistan, why do you chant and dance? Why don't, and don't associate, but why don't you study Vedanta? There's no objection to you being a great devotee of the Lord. Everyone is satisfied with this. Who couldn't be satisfied? But why do you avoid discussing the Vedanta Sutra? What's the fault of discussing Vedanta Sutra? And after hearing the Mayavadi speak in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled slightly. My dear sir, if you don't mind, I can say something to you regarding Vedanta. So, and now, and we will end this part here, because that's, because when, if someone is thinking they know everything, then you can talk to them and talk to them and talk to them, and their mind is closed, and that's, their ears are closed because their mind is closed. They don't hear anything. But if they ask the question, they want to hear the answer. And therefore, Mahaprabhu, as the greatest of preachers, because he was fully internally absorbed and in ecstasy, he caused everyone to, attracted everyone. Now, again, what was the title of this? Oh, yeah, why don't we read the verse, the translation? Yeah, what must be protected and nourished? So here is the goal. And we have our desire. We spoke about having our desire. Now, how do we protect that desire? And how do we nourish it so that it grows into this great fruit tree and then fruit of prema bhakti? How do we protect and nourish it? So how to protect that spiritual desire? Could we? That's the first thing we'll discuss. And if we can go to the verse. Yeah, let's go. Yes, this is from Bhagavad Gita 2:59. Probably we all know this verse, Visya Vinivartante Nirasya. Visya means the object. Vinivartante, objects of sense enjoyment mostly. That's the Visya, how it's usually mean. Vinivartante, you restrain yourself. By Niraharasya means by negative restriction. I can't do this. I'm not supposed to do this. Dehana, the embodied soul is filled with so many desires. So he restrains himself by restriction. Even though rasavarjam, he's giving up that taste by restriction, rasopyasya, although it is there, the desires are there, maybe, perhaps, but by restriction, he gives them up. But by restriction, is necessary, but it is not sufficient. Param drisva navartate, to protect our desire, we need param drisva navartate. Param drisva, this higher taste. And then navartate, those desires will cease to disturb us. Param drisva. We have to restrain, but unless the higher taste is coming to us, it's going to be always a struggle. So therefore, I wanted to just read one more verse and one more commentary, which talks about nourishing. The next verse, please. This is when, in the eighth chapter, which is where Krishna shows this Garga Muni, gives the name-giving ceremony, and then Krishna shows the universal form within the mouth of Yashoda. No, sorry. This is Damodar Leela, and Prakrit Maharaj says, how did Mother Yashoda attain this state? And this is part of the answer. Pitaro nan vidin vitam, that the mother and father, because it's plural, Pitaro, could not enjoy Krishna arbaka kehitam. Mother Yashoda, Vasudev and Devaki couldn't enjoy the childhood pastimes of Krishna, which are so powerful. Gayanti adyapi kavayo. Gayanti means they are sung by kavis, by the greatest scholars, by the greatest devotees, by the greatest poets, by the greatest souls. They sing these pastimes that adyapi, even today, every day, they're always singing these pastimes. And what is the effect of that? Ya loka samalapaham. There's three meanings of that. One is that it destroys misery. The singing, even today, means even in Kali Yuga, these pastimes, when chanted, when heard, they destroy the miseries of Kali Yuga. That's the first meaning. Second meaning, they destroy the peace of mind of a loving devotee because it makes them mad. And the third meaning is it makes insignificant Brahman realization and it stops one from meditating on Brahman. But the specific meaning that we wish to emphasize is that hearing and chanting about Krishna destroys the miseries of Kali Yuga that afflict everyone in Kali Yuga. Upadutta, everyone's mind in Kali Yuga is so disturbed. But this is what nourishes the desire. These pastimes, and here's the translation. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great. The pastimes of Krishna are so great that simply by chanting about them, what to speak of by being with Krishna, simply by chanting about them, they will vanquish the contaminations of the material world that will nourish that desire to be with Krishna. Now, here is a comment. It's not too long, and you've all been so patient already, but there's a little bit more. But this is a comment on this verse by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Great devotees who may spend the second half of the life of Brahma, which means unlimited long time, practically speaking, great devotees who spend unlimited long time thinking themselves simply by thinking themselves successful, simply by glorifying him and not even seeing him directly. They think themselves successful by being immersed, their consciousness immersed in glorifying him. And Brahma and others, the kavis, continue glorifying him even today, starting with giving instructions to Narada. This is the cause of good fortune of all the people, the hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And even, Sanatana Goswami says, even in the age of Kali, this glorification destroys the sins of all people, since it makes all people successful. The hearing, the speaking and hearing. Madbhakti yukto bhuvanam punati, a devotee thus fixed in loving service to me, who's fixed in this way, he can purify the entire universe. So then there's a verse from the Bhagavatam that I'd love to speak on, but I won't because of time. Or, please listen carefully, because it's Sutta Goswami speaking. Or the greatest of Atmaramas such as you, the great devotees from time without beginning till even today, sing what is sung in the Shrutis and Puranas, filled with the highest bliss. They sing as if mad. They sing in various places as if mad. They don't just recite it. These topics of Krishna's infancy destroy the obstacles of karma of low persons like me, Sutta Goswami says. So there are some hints here on how to nourish and protect our bhakti. What pious acts, just by hearing them, persons like me, Sutta Goswami says, because he was prime hearer, persons like me become successful. What pious acts did those persons who experienced those pastimes perform? And Parikshit, hearing this, is astonished. Now, there's now, here's where I thought it really even becomes more interesting or more relevant. Not more relevant, but it lands in our consciousness and addresses me personally. I heard a story about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how some brahmacharis who had been serving for 10 years in the mat came to see him. And they sat in the back of the room and they didn't say anything. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noticed this. And he said, it appears you want to say something, but you're not saying anything. And they said they were afraid to speak what was on their mind. And he said, no. If it's sincere, you should speak. So they said, I've been practicing. We've been living in the mat and chanting and practicing for 10 years. But we don't feel closer to Krishna. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur answered in a way that requires very deep thought to understand. He just said, don't worry, continue. Now, if you were trying to cheat someone, or not trying to cheat, or if the process wasn't effective or real, you might say the same thing to them, just continue, don't worry. And then after 20 years, they may come back and say the same thing. And after 30 years, so sometimes we may think, what's wrong? I've been practicing for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and I'm not feeling closer to Krishna. And I could say something about that how much we've actually changed is probably vast, great. Sometimes we have to, when we see in the distance where we're going, it seems so far, sometimes we have to turn around and look back and see where we've come from. Otherwise we can get discouraged. But just continue, don't worry. Now, my limited understanding of this instruction was they have taken the greatest step, because realizing, confronting that I don't have any love for Krishna and wanting to have love for Krishna, because expressing that to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur meant that I want this, but I'm not getting it. So two things consciously, I'm understanding I don't have it. And secondly, I want it. This is what I want. And if one has some faith and we read so much Shastra, and there's so many exalted devotees, and we so many, and some we've seen. They have it, and I don't. Shastra is there, sadhus are there. Don't worry, but understand, yes, this is what I want. That desire is the greatest thing, because how many people in this world want to love Krishna? And second, to not point, yeah, to see where the fault is. It's in me that I don't have the sincerity. I don't have the concentration. I'm affected by the results of Kali. I don't hear. I don't chant. I continuously offend the devotees without, you know, I just casually criticize everyone as if I'm wonderful. So on one side is desire. On the other side, some humility should come to the heart. And in the combination of these two, desire, I want this, and humility, that's where the magic of bhakti takes place. Desire and feeling unqualified. If we, it's like Goloka Vrindavan, it's so, the only people there who are lovers of Krishna, who don't know anything but Krishna, who only want to satisfy and serve Krishna, and they're just completely overwhelmed with the thought of their attraction to the beauty, the sweetness, the supreme personality of Godhead, his flute. They're completely overwhelmed. They're mad with their desire to please Krishna. It's so fine. It's so rare. It's not Vaikuntha even. This is Goloka Vrindavan. And I'm thinking it's supposed to be easy. So sometimes Prabhupada would say, yeah, all you do is chant Hare Krishna, it's easy, and yes. But there's another side, that this is, it's not so easy. One has, it's easy if one's desire is pure and one only wants this. Fully sincere, easy. But look at me. No qualification. And yet, the desire is there. So if the desire keeps growing, if it's nourished by the hearing process, the chanting process, in the association of devotees alone, and at the same time understanding this is the greatest thing, this is the most subtle thing, it's beyond Vaikuntha, what to speak of beyond impersonal liberation, which has as its goal the cessation of all suffering, which is mostly the way I think about Krishna consciousness. When I say it's not working, I mean I'm still suffering, I'm still unhappy, and I want to get rid of my miseries. But the way to get rid of miseries is to be in this land, face one's fate, face one's karma, face Krishna, that he's behind everything, tateya nukumpam su samikshamano, and go forward and always chant. Unqualified as I am, I somehow have this desire. And it seems that the greatest devotees are the most humble devotees. So it seems like the more humble one gets, and this is confirmed in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the more one realizes one's disqualification, and the more one's desire increases, the gap becomes incredibly bigger. And then one can really chant in the mood of a baby crying for mother, as Prabhupada recommended. And then I heard Prabhupada recently say this, and this is my ending. Simple. Don't give up the chanting. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Don't, please don't clap. Please give us some guidance on how to use our alone with Krishna time. If it was easy for you, you probably weren't there.
Or, yes, I can go with this also. Let us be resourceful. Yes, this very In Ljubljana, there is a technic wizard who once showed me how electricity traveled. So he created a plus or charged pole and then a minus pole, and turned up Krishna, Krishna. Then we saw the electricity was just, you know, going like it. It really looked like as if Frankenstein would be put to life. You know, it was a current of electricity that was visible. So when Bhurijam Prabhu said, in combination of desire on one hand, or you could say on one pole, and what was the other pole? Humility. There is where the magic of bhakti takes place. It was a very, let us say, relevant and perhaps relatable instruction for our retreat. We will go, as we did yesterday, again to the forest. I think we assemble at 9:30 and we will make our way at 9:45. But if you have time, you are very much welcome to come even before on your own. And then we will sit there again. We have our prompts, we have our little table, we have our picture, and yeah, we have Giriraj. Thank you. So at that time, we should become scientists like our devotee friend from Ljubljana and create the magic of electricity, who creates the magic of visible electricity. So you have to also see, how can I apply the humility and the desire? Now yesterday we learned about a very nice approach to this from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that could help us to come there. It is to enter into a relationship of Krishna by first thinking about ourselves as small souls, the sparks of Krishna, parts of Krishna, then thinking of Krishna or Giriraj, who is in front of us, and then thinking about our purpose. I need to re-establish my connection. And you will see, with these three things, the magic of bhakti will happen. Maybe not as dramatic, maybe not as sensational, maybe not as Bollywood-like as this, but it will happen. Again and again, I am here, my dear Lord. I am your small, I'm your part. I'm at the moment covered by the material energy, fortunately, unfortunately, but fortunately, I have a relationship to you. You are my almighty master. I desire to attain you. Please accept me as your service. Now we also learned another technique, if you so want, or another means, that was mana samharanam. Do you remember the translation? Yeah, mind control, or collecting the mind, bringing it in one place. No? So always, while you are there, you will see monkeys creating a family. Don't become distracted and think, oh, how many children will come out of this combination? Or you will see the shade wandering, and just quickly act and bring yourself into the new shade, which is more refreshing. Don't think for a long time about sun, the movements of the stars, or go into your astronomy classes. No, all this mana samharanam, as you sit in the forest, bring your mind back to the task. I am a soul. I am at the moment sunk into the mud of material existence. I'm therefore covered and caked over by the mud and the gunas. But I have something to do with you, my Lord. And then chant with this, and I want to obtain my position. And chant with this dynamic, and you will see a visible manifestation in terms of getting a higher taste that will help you to overcome the various obstacles. I want to congratulate you again for a wonderful lecture, Bhujan Prabhu. And it's so nice to see that we have full attendance. You are actually making good use of your time by coming to these sessions. Now is time for another delicious breakfast. Please go to the Giriraj's Dining Hall. Isn't that a beautiful name? So cultured, it's a dining hall. And see you at the hill at 10 o'clock latest. Hare Krishna, have a wonderful day. Hari Bol.